Chasers, and happy Thursday, August 12th. I am Allison, and I am the host of Pop Chaser, a daily pop culture podcast brought to you by The Dip. It is just me today. I am going to be talking to you about the biggest headlines in entertainment, and I'm ready to go. I've had coffee. I have skimmed the news, and I really want to talk about a show that we haven't really gotten into too much on this podcast. And that is called The White Lotus. I'm going to wait till the end to get into that. But let's kick it off with what I feel like we're still talking about this week, which is The Bachelorette. So looking past Monday night, looking past Tuesday, even looking past Wednesday, we find ourselves on Thursday with an interview from Greg Grippo via The Vile Files, which is Nick Vile's podcast. If you don't listen, I don't blame you, but I did listen, and I'm here to spread the good word of what Greg has said so you don't have to listen. And of that, in that good word, Nick, he did a pretty good job interviewing him and grilling him on a lot of questions that I think we as fans probably had for Greg. I think the biggest takeaways for me is that Greg definitely is showing remorse for any of the actions that he might have taken during not only the fallout between him and Katie on the show, but also during after the final rose. He also recognizes that his relationship with Katie wasn't that healthy. So he says, "It wasn't the healthiest relationship in the world because, you know, I was depending on her for happiness in that time, and that wasn't fair to her at all." He says that he thinks he probably needed more time to process the death of his father, as well as the death of his therapist. I mean, these are really big traumatic moments for somebody to be going through, and then to just kind of be, you know, pushed into the spotlight like The Bachelorette. I think that, and then not only to be pushed into the spotlight, but to be pushed into the spotlight and be a front runner. And I think that you go on the show and you're probably like, we'll see what happens. But when you feel the energy of like, oh, I think I could win this, I would imagine it's very possible for the worst sides of you to come out, because you get a little taste of like what life could be like after. And I'm not talking about life with Katie, I'm talking about fame. He does say that he came off like an ass and like a petulant child at times on After the Final Rose. He said, quote, "I regret it because at the end of the day, Katie didn't deserve that. I definitely projected a lot of my insecurities and my anger in that moment on her. And at the end of the day, it wasn't fair to her." So I do feel like this is the redemption tour of Greg. I don't know if it works or not. You know, I believe here on this podcast, you have seen me evolve in what I thought I saw, sat with it, what I then saw. And now, you know, we're like a week and a half out from the original fallout between the two of them. And I just want to move on from it. Maybe you want to move on from it too. And I promise I won't bring it up after this week. Maybe I can't promise that actually, but you never know. What if something big comes out? What if Katie and Blake break up? I can't not tell you guys that. I mean, you'll probably already know, but I'm sure you'll be dying to hear me say, "I told you so." But I did want to touch on a few other things from this interview that were not necessarily Katie specific, but just Bachelor specific. Greg talked about the acting scandal, and he says that he was working in insurance when he was out of college, and he always wanted to try acting, and he felt kind of stuck in a rut. So he took a 2-year acting program. He didn't end up loving it, and he's never been to an audition. So I don't want to say Greg and I have the same path and the same journey when it comes to acting, but we also have the same path and journey when it comes to acting. So again, if I ever end up on The Bachelor and you guys bring up my acting background, I'll be so mad because I've never been on an audition either. And I have been in a couple movies, but I'm not going to say which ones because I'm just in the background, but maybe one day I'll reveal it. And then there is this comment, which this blew my MFing mind. Becca Kufrin's season of The Bachelorette, which feels like 85 years ago. It turns out it aired in 2018. How? I guess, how did that happen? How did Becca Kufrin air in 2018? That doesn't even sound that long ago. I guess it is, though. Greg got a call from a producer when they were casting for Becca's season. So he probably got that call in like end of 2017. And at that time, he said he didn't even know that his sister had submitted him. And he told him it wasn't the right time. And then when Claire's season came around, they, you know, called him again. He packed his bags and he was ready to go. COVID hit. And then he decided to not go on when they kind of readjusted filming after like taking the summer off and reevaluating how the season was going to play out. So then when they called him for a third time for Katie's season, he took the opportunity. So it is a long time coming for him. Also, like, how old is Greg Grippo? Is he like 14 when they called him for the first time? I'm going to Google it. Greg Grippo. Come with me on this journey. Age. Okay. Greg is 28. So in 2018, okay, he was like 25, maybe 24, 25. I guess that's not like the most outrageous thing that The Bachelorette has ever done, but it's certainly young because I think Becca was probably, let's look up how old Becca was. Becca Kufrin is 31. So he would have been like 3 years younger than her. I guess that's not that strange, but it just feels like forever ago. I mean, it feels like Greg would have been getting his learner's permit at that point in life. But I mean, good on him for making that decision. I don't know what's going to happen with Greg. I think it's interesting he went on Nick Vile's podcast versus any of the Bachelor Nation podcasts. I wonder if he's just going to kind of, you know, do his own thing and hang out in New Jersey and hang out outside of clubs and not get into them. And if you haven't seen that picture and would like to pass away from secondhand embarrassment, I recommend you look it up. But yeah, I think that we can close this chapter of our lives. I think so. I mean, we're starting Bachelor in Paradise, so we're going to have to get into all of it. And Becca will return. Becca Kufrin is going to be on Paradise, spoiler alert. So Becca will be involved in the conversations moving forward. Greg, I don't think so. Let's move on to the next topic at hand, which is Erika Jayne. This is just like a classic Thursday episode, I feel. Erika is obviously, I am watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with bated breath. I think we are at the point in the legal proceedings against Tom Girardi. It's getting good. And we are only seeing this not really even through Erica's eyes, but through the iPhones of Kyle and Dorit and Lisa Rinna and Sutton and Carcel and Crystal and Kathy Hilton, if she can find her readers. And that for me right now is enough. But, you know, and we saw on Wednesday's episode, they were saying, you know, there was a new headline coming out alleging that Erica could be complicit in the crimes that Tom is being accused of. Now, Erica has never been charged with anything. She's denied any accusations on the show and also just through her representative. And that is all fine and great, of course, but I just want to be promised that Erica will not run from a conversation. She will not ignore messages, that she will walk into the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion ready to talk. And I am watching this season and I'm starting to get a little worried that she's going to run. So I did a little snooping and I found Erica actually has gone on record, on Twitter record, saying that she will be at the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion this season. Now, this to me is music to my ears. I want this woman to have her own couch to the right of Andy if she is willing to show up to that reunion and be very chatty and tell everything she can legally say. If she's going to show up and just say that she can't say anything and just repeat everything that she said on the show, I think she deserves to sit on a folding chair that your mom pulls from the garage for a graduation party. Like, I don't want her on the couch. I want her to know that she's done wrong and this is her time out. Now, Andy is a much better interviewer than like the women on the show. I think something to keep in mind is like the women are living this saga live. So they don't really have like the in the moment skills to come up with the questions that maybe we, the viewers, wish they were asking, because we have been able to digest the news in a much more distant way. And they also haven't seen Housewife and the Hustler yet. So that's a huge blind spot for them. And if you haven't either, I don't even know why you're listening to this podcast. With that said, again, I will say this, Erica, please, 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 because I know you're listening to this, show up to that reunion and blab away. I want you to tiptoe that line of being sued for defamation so closely. Just don't go over it, but just so close, because we want to know everything you know. We just want to know. And please don't, let's not dwell on the phone call thing. Like, I'm already over the phone call thing and the Garcelle Erica of it all. It's just like, okay, well, whatever. Garcelle didn't know. Erica thought she knew. Like, it is what it is. I'm past it. I just want Erica to talk about the Tom of it all. And we can get to the ugly leather pants. We can get to the standing fans that Kathy Hilton brings and have a fun little montage of all of the crazy Kathy Hilton moments. I'm going to need two of the three parts of this reunion to be about Erica, though. And I'm fine with that. For once, I'm fine with that. Okay, the last thing that I wanted to talk about today was The White Lotus, which is on HBO. If you are not watching The White Lotus, you have a few days to catch up before the finale on Sunday. It is so good. The vibe of The White Lotus is like Big Little Lies, kind of. It's by Mike White. And I'm so obsessed with this show. I watch it every Sunday night. And that says a lot because I very rarely watch a show live. But I can't not watch this one live because I want to find out what happens. It starts, the whole season starts with somebody is dead, but we don't know who is dead. And I have some final predictions going into Sunday's finale. So if you don't watch the show and you don't want to be spoiled, just skip ahead to the end of the episode when I talk about the deep dive of the day. But if you watch the show and you don't care about being spoiled, then listen on. I think the person that is dead is the man that Jennifer Coolidge is sleeping with. I think, and I don't know if this is like confirmed or not, but I think he like has cancer or something like that. I can't remember if that like came out on the show, but that's kind of my guess. I don't think it's going to be Kai because I just don't think that I don't think we're going to lose Kai. That would just be too sad. Also, like, where would Kai be going? He's native to the island. So it would be kind of strange for him to be on a flight with Jake Lacey's character. Yeah. So I think that it's going to be the guy that Jennifer Coolidge is sleeping with, which really concerns me because Jennifer Coolidge, like, she's been through a lot on that show. She's really been through a lot. She's just carrying her mom's ashes around in like a Gladware container, basically. This might be a big blow to her because I think she really likes this guy. She doesn't want to be hurt. And she knows that she's, you know, got a lot of personal stuff to work through. And I don't think him dying on her is going to be that great, but that's my prediction. I don't think it's Rachel, Alexandra Daddario's character. I think that's too easy, but I also don't know why Jake Lacey's character would be so weird about it when that family asked in the first episode, but maybe it's just because Rachel leaves him, which I mean, from my lips to God's ears, let's hope she does. I don't understand why she married him in the first place. And if you do, please tweet me, message me, find me on the street and just tell me. I don't see anything redeeming about Jake Lacey's character. And so I wish I understood because she seems like a pretty rational person. I don't get why they got married at all in the first place. And then when I found out from Molly Shannon, aka Kitty, aka Jake Lacey's mom on the show. I obviously don't remember what Jake Lacey's character's name is. Shane, maybe? I just know him as Plop from The Office. Shane / Jake Lacey / Plop and Rachel are going to Tahiti for a second leg of their honeymoon. When I found that out, I mean, there are not enough drugs in Sydney Sweeney's purse to get Rachel through that second leg of the vacation. So let's just hope that she sees the light and runs away, runs very far away. And that, you know, maybe Jake Lacy's twin is the one in the airport, and it's actually Jake Lacy's character in the body box. I don't know. That's dark. That was dark. Sorry. The good news is that the White Lotus is coming back for season two. Now, I did not expect this because I just assumed that the show was a one and doneer, but it turns out HBO has renewed the White Lotus for a second season. It'll have a whole new cast and a new setting. Season two, quote, leaves Hawaii behind and follows a different group of vacationers as they jet to another White Lotus property and settle in temporarily among its inhabitants. So I'm very into this. The vibe is, I think I might've said this at the beginning, it's very Big Little Lies in that, like, it's just tense. And you know something is happening, you know something is going to happen. And I'm just so into it. And I can tell you guys, if you haven't seen the trailer for 9 Perfect Strangers, which is coming out on Hulu next Wednesday, that's the one with Nicole Kidman, Melissa McCarthy, Bobby Cannavale, so many fantastic people. That one has a very similar vibe. It's called 9 Perfect Strangers. It's a Leanne Moriarty book who wrote Big Little Lies as well. I am so excited for that show. It's going to be so good. But yeah, White Lotus, watch it. It's out on Sundays. The finale is on Sunday. I cannot wait to find out what happens. And if I'm right, I will remind everybody that I was right on Tuesday's episode. Okay, so I wanted to do a quick deep dive. I feel like we haven't done a deep dive much this week, only because I've had guests and I've had specials. And the only deep dive that I care to talk about right now is the overwhelming weight of launching my dog's Instagram account. And if you want to do a deep dive and see my dog, you often hear him in the background squeaking toys on this podcast. He's a 6-month-old puppy. Sometimes you'll, you know, hear Kate say, "Is that your dog breathing?" That is also him. But I started an Instagram account for him only because I've found that my mom is often texting me for photos of him to show her coworkers. And I was like, you know what? What if I just set up a shared album for you? And then she said, "Can you add my coworkers?" And I was like, absolutely not. And also, I'm a stage mom. I don't know why I have to even explain that. So he has an Instagram account. It is at Moose the, oh wait, I already messed it up. Oh my God. Kris Jenner would never do this. At Moose, MOOSE dot the, you know how to spell that, dot Wheaton, WHEATEN. And you can follow him there if you want, or you can just see the heavy breather that he is. He is very cute. He's sleeping right now, which is just so adorable. And yeah, I just needed to mention, I wanted to just shout out all of the Instagram pet moms out there who are just doing it alone. And it is a lot of work. I'm not a big poster on Instagram. I never really post to the feed unless, you know, maybe like 6 times a year. This is a lot of work and it's only been 12 hours and I'm exhausted. So thoughts and prayers for me. Follow him at moose.the.wheaton. And you can also follow me at Allison Piwo on Twitter and Instagram. And follow The Dip on all of our social accounts and on TikTok, which is thedip.com, D-O-T.com. It is so funny. If you're a fan of like nostalgia when it comes to television, I really recommend following us on TikTok. There are so many great videos that our social editor, Kaya, who you know and love from this podcast and also the Bravo Wild Black podcast posts. So you can follow us there and you can also check us out on thedip.com. Use the promo code POPCHASER for 50% off your annual subscription. And until tomorrow, when hopefully Moose's Instagram follower count goes up, up and up from this podcast alone, I'll come back with the biggest headlines. And until then, cheers.